This.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
Unbelievable.
The Sports Hub.
First time in 4 months, the Red Sox lose three consecutive games. TC, 6-3. The final Indians take the first two.
And let's discuss, shall we? Felger and Maz here on a Wednesday. Maz, what? You're already laughing at something. What?
Yeah, Felger, it's going to be like 78 all over again. It's collapsing. Here it comes, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, there are going to be these people today who are in panic mode. I almost brought my panic button in today. It's not exactly a panic button, but I didn't want to steal the whole Murray prop idea. But nonetheless, I may do it. If they lose one more, I'm going to bring in a panic button.
You got the hand-me-down from Bob Lobel?
So it's not an actual panic button. It's more like a goal light from a hockey game.
People are really panicked.
Oh, I think there are a few people out there that
Yankees are coming for you.
Starting to get a little wobbly in the knees.
I think that's silly.
Just so do I. I'm just telling you, but I just know Red Sox fans. And I know they're already looking at it going,
are you getting wobbly in the knees, Jimmy?
Yeah, three in a row.
Cleveland just kicked your ass.
Well, no, that's true, but are you?
I mean, I still have them as the third best team, but you know, the Yankees could make a run. Their schedule's a little soft going forward. And the Oakland A's, by the way, who have beaten you four out of six games this year, they could be coming for that, too.
Okay, I'm not talking about the Red Sox versus the Indians and what that means for the postseason. I'm not talking about what that means for the A's. I'm not talking about you as a postseason team. I'm talking about the eight-game lead in the AL East. You're not seriously, like, you don't think it's a serious thing, do you?
No.
It's not?
No. I'm not worried. I'm just telling you, I think Red Sox fans are going to be
Murray, you're smirking.
Just saying the Yankees' schedule is a little softer than yours.
So you think that's a real thing? It's eight games with 85 left or something like that?
No, eight games with like 35 left.
I mean, that's what I meant, 35.
I'm smirking because anyone that's really nervous about this is a complete idiot. It's over. AL East is over.
It's over.
It was all a matter of time before this team had a swoon. Like, there's the ebb and flow of the 162 games. This is now the ebb, or that's the dip, right?
Yes.
Either way.
Very good.
Yeah, thank you. Barely graduated high school, obviously, why I work in radio. It was all a matter of time. Like, what they were doing prior to this was the anomaly. Ooh, what big whoop. They've lost five games this month. Don't everybody freak out just because it's Cleveland. It was bound to happen.
Okay, so that's how I feel. The three-game losing streak, meaningless. You've gone from 10.5 in the division to 8, meaningless. Meaningless. Okay, you're bound to have an ebb, a dip, all fine. Like that's not. But I do think there are some things to glean from these games against Cleveland that
no question
that would concern me. I mean, you're winning the division. I'm not concerned about the 8-game lead, but that matchup in the playoffs and the nature of these games and what that could mean if you face a team with a bullpen like Cleveland. New York on paper, you know, hasn't produced like that, so I don't know if I even want to include it, but just stick with Cleveland. Cleveland's got to scare you a little bit, Maz, on a lot of different fronts. I mean, those two lefties out of the back of that bullpen last night, if that doesn't scare the crap out of you, what should scare the crap out of you as a Red Sox fan is this. Andrew Miller looking like that, cut away to Francona and Millsy in the dugout, cut back to Andrew Miller, throwing another slider for a swinging strike. Francona bringing in Mr. Hand. He's throwing junk from the left side. And not, I don't mean junk, but just like unhittable stuff. Cut away to Francona and Millsy in the dugout. Cut to Hand striking you out. Cut to Francona in the dugout. Like that whole thing right there, you should have a lot of respect for what that team can do and what Francona can do with those arms in the bullpen. I'm sorry. If that didn't scare the crap out of you, then you weren't paying attention.
So all these Red Sox fans that keep calling us and saying, well, look, the Red Sox bullpen ranks, you know, third in the league in ERA. The Red Sox bullpen ranks this. The Red Sox bullpen is that. They're better than you think they are. You're being too hard on them. If you watched that game last night, that was a lockdown bullpen in the eighth and ninth innings. That's what that was. A lockdown bullpen in the eighth and ninth innings. Andrew Miller, Brad Hand, they faced seven batters, five of whom, by the way, were Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland, and Bogarts.
The top of your order, the crux of your order.
Okay, those were five of the guys. They struck out four. They did not allow a hit. They did not allow a walk. You went 0 for 7. Okay, so that That is a lockdown bullpen. And you know what's even scarier?
And it's how they threw, too. It's like...
See, and I don't think Andrew Miller's 100% yet.
So I keep hearing this, like, I've had confusion about Andrew Miller coming back from an injury. Is he back? Is he all the way back? He's sucking. They're trying to get him back. Like, and I've asked you guys, like, where's Andrew Miller? Where's Andrew Miller? Is he back? Is he not back? They got to get him back. I keep hearing this stuff about Andrew Miller. Then I watch him last night. I'm like, what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with this guy.
He's 85%.
Yeah, so his velocity's not all the way back yet. He's throwing, you know, 94, and there were a couple pitches at 92. So his velocity's not all the way back. When he's right, he'll hit 96, and maybe it won't come back. Maybe,
so that's it. So it's a velocity thing.
I think so. You know, I think so. But his slider?
It feels like the swing and miss stuff is still there.
Well, that's because his slider is there. And you know what? He might not need the 96. It might be enough. But to me, it's hard to not watch the final two innings of those game and say, see, this is what it should look like at the end of the game when you're championship caliber.
And their closer didn't even pitch.
Right. And he's probably the third best one anyway.
They didn't even use your closer. And I think he's the guy that's vulnerable.
Yeah, he seems like a jittery mess. I remember even that from the playoffs last year, too. But
Cody Allen.
Yeah, that Brad Hand. Man, he's got some motion on that breaking ball, huh?
Whoa. Big time.
And yeah. You know what?
And it comes out like a changeup, too, yeah. Which is sort of, you know, makes it even more, even harder to hit.
And I'm sorry, the fact that it's Francona and Millsy, I include Millsy, who are sitting there.
Millsy.
Like, you just,
you know that they're just loving it like a pig.
And not just that, but they, like.
They know you.
They know things. Like, I feel like you know things. Even though Francona's, you know, these batters, you know, Betts and Martinez and. It's not like Francona has a ton of experience with those guys. Like, was Betts even here in 11? You know, was he?
No.
Right, so it's like, I mean, it's not like...
No, but they scout well.
So, but there's something about Francona and Millsy, even though the guys that he's throwing to, he didn't manage here. But I just feel like they know, like, I don't know. I've got a lot of respect for their ability there. And there was an at-bat in game one that caught my eye late in the game where they're throwing to J.D. Martinez, and they're throwing all... high strikes at the top of the zone. The whole at bat was the top of the zone. I can't remember who it was, if it was the sidewinder, if it was Allen or one of them late in the game, and they got him. And I just remember that at bat saying, "Oh, they know something," because I hadn't noticed anyone else pitch Martinez that way.
Well, and that's where to pitch him too, because again, he likes to elevate the ball, so he's going to give you that launch angle thing, which means he wants to start down in the strike zone. So to get up top is hard for him to do.
So they had a clear approach. The pitcher executed it. And I said, huh, they got something. And like you know, and that's just, there's a difference between postseason and regular season. So all that stuff you should respect / be scared of. And I would be if I'm a Red Sox fan. The 8-game lead in the division, forget about. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm not worried about the division either. The Red Sox are going to win the division. But I think that the end of that game to me highlights what it looks like when you are a championship caliber team and you have guys that can nail down the game the way that they nail it down. And so we had this discussion at one point, Murray. Remember? And I think we had the same one, Mike, where I said to you, how many games do you remember this year where the Red Sox relievers came in and you say, oh, man, they nailed that one down. Like, they really locked it down. That was airtight. I can't remember any. Like, there's always a walk.
I mean, but it's happened, hasn't it?
Well, probably. I mean, I'm sure it's happened. But the point is, it doesn't happen with any kind of regularity. So it's not something you look at and say you expect. And I'll even go back to the Porcello game a couple of nights ago. If you were confident in your bullpen, you would look at it. The second a pitcher got in trouble, you would say, get him up, get him in. Right? In fact, you'd have him up before that. Get him in because we know those guys will nail it down. But now you sort of sit there and say, what do we do? What do you do here?
No, the whole thing has always felt like a roller coaster ride. Even go back to last week, that first game of the two-gamer against Philly. Hembry comes in as a clean eighth, and then Kimbrel's kind of a mess, you know, even though they ended up winning the game 2-1, right? Yeah, it was 2-1. But Kimbrel was kind of all over the place as the pass ball that thankfully, who was it catching that night? He makes the sick play down to first. But
yeah, Leon.
Sandy Leon, yeah. But he was just kind of a... You know, this was where Kimbrel was through the dip. It's just, it hasn't been anything like you've seen with Cleveland these last couple of nights. They just feel like a bad matchup.
Well, so if Andrew Miller hasn't looked like this all year, then fine. And if he's not a lock to look like this, then that changes the equation. But if he's going to look like he did last night, and then you have the hand character, and the guy who throws from the sidearmer from the right side, who's that?
Oh, Simber.
You know, and it's like, you got Francona there.
And Simber, whom they also got in the deal with the Padres, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, ooh, like that, that scares me. And,
it should scare you.
And Cleveland, their lineup isn't you, but it ain't bad. And they've won these first two games, and their two MVP candidates haven't even hit. They haven't even hit, I think they're one, Lindor and Ramirez are like one for 16, yes.
Something like that, yeah. So, no, you've been done in by Melky Cabrera and the kid who bats nine
hitter,
Allen. Yeah. Allen and Yan Gomes had three hits last night. It's those guys. And look, I do think, I mean, do you remember Mookie Betts in that first series with Cleveland a couple of years ago when they played him in the playoffs? Mookie Betts felt like he got neutered in that series. So did Bogarts. And so I do, look, I think Francona's good at evaluating. They scout well. They can look at guys in the other team and in the other lineup and say, this is how we have to pitch this guy. And then they have guys who can execute it. That eighth and ninth inning last night, you can't say it enough.
No, that should have opened your eyes.
Seven batters, four strikeouts, no hits, no walks, 0 for 7. And the only reason a guy reached base is because Jason Kipnis had vertigo out there or whatever the hell it was.
Was that not the most unbelievable thing you've seen?
So honestly, that's the kind of play where when a guy misses a ball like that,
the game's fixed.
Or you say, dude, time to see the doctor. Are your eyes all right?
I couldn't believe that.
Holy crap.
Halfway up, he didn't have it.
Oh, my gosh. It was unbelievable. Like, and that's a basic infield pop. Like, what are you doing?
And so
you can't catch that?
So if that were a Red Sox reliever on the mound, what happens?
Meltdown.
Oh, my God. Goes from bad to worse.
Meltdown. And in fact, Han got up 0-2 through two strikes right away.
Struck out the next guy.
He did. Yep, and he got up 0-2 right on him. Just completely bounced back. No problem whatsoever. And so, look, to me, that was striking because that's what you'll see in October. Now, not every team has what Cleveland has. They might have the best bullpen going.
Houston's numbers are better.
Yes.
And on paper, the Yankees should be able to do the exact same thing. They don't have the lefties like Miller and Hand, who does. But on paper, they should be able to do the exact same thing. Except now Chapman's hurt. Did Chapman get hurt last night?
He did, yeah. He walked off the mound, yep.
So you're not losing the division lead. The Yankees are injured on top of everything else. And I know you got a tougher schedule down the stretch, but you're still going to play enough crap where even if you're not playing great, you're fine. You're fine, you're fine, you're fine. You and Cleveland in the playoffs? You got to respect Cleveland in that series. I don't know if you pick them. I don't know. But you got to look. I look differently at that team after watching the last couple nights.
See, now I think the dose of reality here is good. I think that that's a good thing. Like, I look at it and say, you know what? A little bit of a dose of reality, and this gets back to the whole Celtics thing, Murray. They could use a good ass-kicking right now. The Red Sox could use a little bit of a reality check. They could, because the game's not as easy as they've made it look all year long. And again, that's a credit to them because they played so well all year long. But these two games, Cleveland was supposed to be at one point the weakest of the four teams in the American League that you thought had the best shot. Oakland and Seattle feel like they're sort of newcomers to the party, right? But of the four been there before teams, Cleveland was the one you looked at and said, "Meh, they just don't feel as strong this year," and it feels like that is cycling out. Then they come in here and beat you the way they've beaten you in the first two games, and on top of it, you're having trouble scoring runs, particularly in the late innings. They can lock down a game like that.
Late innings? What about the Biebs? The Biebs takes you down.
You know what? I liked him. He's pretty good.
He didn't stand a chance against the Biebs. Where'd this guy come from?
Of course, he only walked 10 batters in the minor leagues. Of course, the cousin of Justin Bieber, pop star artist.
He is a cousin.
No, Jimmy's just making it up.
It's not a common name. But the Biebs shoved it on you last night.
Yeah, ball too.
When you're getting shoved by the Biebs, I don't know. It's time to open your eyes. That's all I'm saying. We're starting Red Sox, 617-779-0985. Couple open lines. Grab them, why don't you?
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This Red Sox team at 88 victories, but trailing 6-3 here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Old friend, the left-hander Andrew Miller coming on. And the 2-2. And he puts him away.
Yeah, that slider, it almost just stops.
Mookie Betts on deck. Swung on him as strike three. Back-to-back K's.
Oh, this guy is the slingster, man, with that slider.
Brad Hand is their closer tonight. Benintendi, 2-for-3, a double and a single. And a 2-2. And he struck him out.
You can see why they wanted to get this Brad Hand.
Oh, yeah. And with a 1-2. He struck him out. That'll end it. So the first time in 4 months, the Red Sox lose three consecutive games. TC, 6-3. The final Indians take the first two.
That eighth and ninth inning, man, if that didn't open your eyes, you weren't watching. You know, twofold. One is just the matchup with Cleveland. You got to respect the arms they have out there. And the guy pulling the trigger and Francona and Millsy. Those two scare me if I'm the Red Sox. They just do.
So there's that specific matchup. But then it's just generally, Maz, that's what it's going to be in the postseason. In that, and which we've gotten so little of in the regular season because the Sox, there's so many bad teams that are out of it. Or the Sox have won just so by such wide margins that in the postseason, you're going to get in the late innings and the opponent is going to have a clue how to match up. They've scouted you and they know how to pitch you. And they're going to bring in someone who should be able to do the job or at least execute. And it feels like 9 out of 10 times in the regular season, we're getting none of that. They're up 8-2 in the seventh, and what's the diff? Or they're playing some team that's tanking, and so what's the diff? They're not even using their scouting reports. Or whatever. Like, that's what you're going to get. Capable scouting with capable bullpens that are going to have an approach against you and are going to try and execute that approach. And, you know, you should be good enough to still defeat it. But it's going to look totally different than it's looked in the right. You're just not going to blow doors like you have through the regular season, you know, just waltzing through these teams. Like they're going to put up resistance in the late innings.
Well, and look, you know, just look at the Red Sox recent history in some of these games. Like they rallied against the Yankees. They pull out these late wins, all of that. What has happened the last two nights? Cleveland, they came close, but they didn't win. They lost that first one 5-4. And last night, they didn't even have a sniff. I mean, they just they boarded up the door and nailed it shut last night. That was it. It was done. You sent your best hitters to the plate basically in the ninth inning. It started with Betts, Benintendi, Martinez, Moreland, Bogarts. You sent your best hitters up there and they shut you down.
So, your thoughts, Matt in Boston. Lead us off today. Go ahead.
Okay, so I got two quick thoughts on the first two games of this series that I would like to lay at the feet of you guys. Number one, this could very well be a sign of things to come October, because all I've been hearing from Red Sox defenders over the last few months is how different this team is and says this is our year and all, blah, 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 blah. Well, I'm going to shove in your faces the way the last two Octobers went for the Red Sox to prove my point of why nothing has changed until they prove it. And the second one is this. I am not one to root against the Red Sox, but I'm kind of hoping for that they lose tonight. Because if there's one Red Sox player that I think is overdue to be given a beating and be humbled in the worstless way, it's David Price. Because there's nothing I would like better to see than that punk on the mound in a chance that the Red Sox could be swept by the Indians to see how he would manage that kind of adversity.
Okay, Matt, good call. Two things. Are the Red Sox any different? I think they're better than they have been the last couple of years. They're better. They're playing better. It feels like they have much more sack than those previous two teams.
Agreed.
But are they constructed any differently?
Not really, no.
I mean, the power's better. They have more power.
Martinez. Martinez is the big difference.
Yeah, and Betts is having an MVP year like he didn't quite last year. So I think, but it's still the same thing. The power's different. They're more likely to hit a three-run homer this year than they were last year. Other than that, great offense, couple good starting pitchers with no track record in the postseason, and really a shaky bullpen. I mean, it's just the same thing, isn't it?
Sure it is. Yep, absolutely it is.
The managing's better and should be better. Although, in game, we still don't really know.
Correct.
So, I mean, when you say they're the same team, they're better, but there's a lot of similarities. Price? Woof. So tonight you're going Brian Johnson versus Carrasco, who's like their co-ace, right?
Yeah, and Carrasco's been awesome lately. I think he's like 7-1 in his last 9 starts or something like that, with an ERA under 2.
The Indians are 8-1 in Carrasco's last 9. He personally is 7-1 with a 1.73 ERA since the All-Star break. 65 strikeouts to 6 walks.
How do you like those numbers?
65 strikeouts to 6 walks. And then someone writes, this is from our email chain. I just cut and pasted. I don't know which one of you Jamokes wrote it. It could have been any one of you.
Oh, let me guess.
But this is Carlos Carrasco against Brian Johnson. Carrasco just shoving for the last 3 months. Last sentence of that paragraph, this is getting good. I think it could be any one of you. Could be any one of you. Could be any one of you people.
And by the way, just for clarity's sake, that isn't, it's,
so, I don't love your chances tonight, and now, here comes Mr. Happy tomorrow night to avoid a sweep. after spouting off again and being a dink for no good reason the other night, and here we go again.
Oh, yeah. No, he's rediscovered himself. He's back to being who he was, remember? So you can see how this is setting up. Now, again, just as the caller said, they've taken the first two. They have the edge in the pitching matchup tonight. And then here you go in the next one with Price waiting on the mound in the finale. I mean, the last time he pitched a series finale against a good team was the Yankees, and he got his ass kicked.
Tom and Alston, your thoughts.
All right. How are you guys not concerned about our lead in the division? I just want to throw out a couple facts here to show why I'm concerned. Our lead is down from 10.5 games to 8 in less than a week. Look at our schedule coming up. We have 3 games against Houston. We have 5 games left against Cleveland, and 3 of those games are in Cleveland. And we have 6 games left against the Yankees. That's 14 games. The only real challenge that we have, that the Yankees have on the horizon, is a 3-game series at Oakland. What if the law of averages catches up to this team? What if they go 4-10 over that stretch and 2-6 against the Yankees? Our bullpen stinks. We have Brashears as our setup guy. We have Craig Kimbrell as an eggshell. Chris Sale's on the DL. And David Price, the head case, has now been given the reins to lead this pitching staff. The Cleveland bullpen makes the Red Sox bullpen look like a little league team. We could be in a 1-game playoff against Verlander. I think you guys are being too dismissive.
Wait, hold on. Hold on. Now you're in trouble for the wild card? What? Here's why. Here's why the division's over. After these games, you have 3 against Tampa. Then you have 2 against the Marlins. Then you have the White Sox. And then you have a tough 2-week stretch. Then you got the Braves and the Astros. Okay, fine. But then you have 3 against the Blue Jays. And then 3 against the Mets. And you still have 3 more against Baltimore.
And those last 3 with the Yankees might not mean anything. That's the final weekend
exactly,
of the season.
Right. So exactly. So by the time you get to that last Yankee series, you will have played Baltimore, the Mets, the Blue Jays, the Rays again, and the White Sox. Suck, and suck. 6 suck bag teams. Maybe.
And the Yankees' next 12 are Miami, Baltimore, the White Sox, and the Tigers. They could win 12 in a row and
Fine.
Get back right in the race.
No. Let's say they win 12 in a row.
And get back right in the race.
If they win 12 in a row and you go 8-4 against this crap.
Right. They're still 4 out.
It's over.
Yeah. They say the math is too hard for the Yankees to overcome.
There's too many bad teams.
I mean, it would take a Red Sox collapse, and they're not going to collapse. They're not that bad. I mean, like, you know, and I know people are like, yeah, what about 78?
Yeah, what about 2011, Mass?
I knew that one was coming, Jimmy. And I would tell you, this team isn't remotely constituted or constructed mentally like the 2011 team was.
Worry about what you should be worried about, the postseason. Worry about Francona and his evil sidekick, Millsy, peering out of that dugout with those arms coming out of the bullpen. That's what you should be worried about.
You really? The Red Sox have 35 games left, I think. If they go 18-17, they win 106.
Hey, don't worry about the division.
Okay, they're not going to.
9-21, September of 2011.
They're not going to blow the division.
They finished 3rd that year. They were in first place September 1st.
They're not going to blow the division.
Is this team chugging beer during games?
No.
Not that we know of. They're playing video games instead.
Well, that might be true.
He's got us on that one.
Okay, here's an update from Murray, and we're back with more.
Sports Hub headlines.
At Patriots practice today, running back Sony Michel, offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, linebacker Harvey Lange, and tight end Ryan Izzo, all absent after all missing practice Monday and Tuesday. Michel and Cannon, they've both missed the last 12 practices since leaving the team's August 1st session early with injuries. Quarterback Tom Brady also held his midweek press conference and talked up the importance of the upcoming 3rd preseason game this Friday night in Carolina against the Panthers.
It's another important step, and I think you play 4 preseason games and everyone's getting lots of different reps. I think this week has mimicked much more of a regular season week. We still had quite a few meetings and stuff at night, which we don't have as much during the season, but just in terms of install and scouting reports and getting to know our opponents, we've had extra time to watch our own film study. And I think everyone likes to feel like they're getting accustomed to what is coming. you know, hopefully we can go out and play really well.
Rookie Shane Bieber took a shutout into the seventh inning. Melky Cabrera had a home run for the second straight game. The Indians beat the Red Sox 6-3 last night. This four-game series will continue at Fenway Park this evening with Brian Johnson going up against the Indians' Carlos Carrasco. First pitch 7:10. And Major League Baseball has released each team's schedule for the 2019 season. The Red Sox 2019 will start with an 11-game road trip on the West Coast with four in Seattle, four in Oakland, and wrap up with three in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Headlines are brought to you by Hooters. Be the MVP of your fantasy league by booking your draft party at Hooters.com/football. Saugus, Shrewsbury, West Springfield, and Dedham. Hooters makes you happy. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 Sports Up Next Update, 30 minutes.
Miss something?
Come back and put it in my face.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Felger and Mass.
They suck.
On Boston's Home for Sports.
Sometimes I hear people saying that it'll be good for them if they start losing. I don't believe in that one. I don't. What good comes out of that? You know, losing? No. I mean, even winning, we're learning about our team. Even, you know, we've been playing good baseball, and we know that base running had to be better, and it's been better. Certain situations, we have to be better. I mean, there's a lot of learning when you win. I know there's learning when you're losing, but the whole thing about, like, you know, they need to go through a bad stretch. Not really, you know, no. It's, people don't like to lose, and they're being very disciplined as far as, like, what we need to do on a daily basis to avoid losing streaks or get caught up on the winning.
So, Maz, you disagree with Alex Cora there. You think these losses are beneficial to the Red Sox?
I do, and it's not the losses in and of themselves. It's about how you respond to them. That's what the issue is. It's not like you say, well, they need to lose eight in a row. That'll balance it out. It's got nothing to do with that. It's about being dealt a little bit of adversity and building some mental toughness. Because I think this is one of the things we wonder about with this team. They've gotten to the playoffs 2 years in a row. They've gone 1-6. So, you know, they've gotten their asses kicked. And so I just would like to see, like, if they were to bounce back in this series and win the next two with Price closing it out tomorrow night and pitching well, that would make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, tonight would be a good win. I mean, you got a big disadvantage on the mound. And if you bounce back and win tonight's game, that's a big win. And then that sets up Mr. Happy tomorrow night. And you're right. That'd show you. I mean, look, we just said those wins show us something, right? So don't the losses do the same thing?
Of course. Yes, of course. And so I would like to see, like, that would mean something to me. Just like beating the Yankees four in a row here. They had the Yankees here. They stepped in their throats. Even if the Yankees were undermanned, that to me was, you know, an encouraging series. And one that breeds confidence in you as a fan and a watcher of the team. But if they were to get swept out the door here now, doesn't it almost erase what happened with the Yankees? Like, that's how I would feel, like, here we go again. Now they've taken a little step back. So I just, that eighth and ninth inning last night, that should be it. That's a reality check. That's what you're going to see in a big game. Guys like that coming at you.
617-779-0985. Daryl in Chelmsford is up next. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing there?
Good, Daryl. What do you got?
Yeah, you guys think, you know, I like your show and everything, yeah, but you guys must think that you are Mr. Know-it-alls and, you know, they're going to play top teams. I know who they play. You know, I'm a diehard Boston Red Sox fan, so I respect your show and I like it, you know, but there ain't no ifs, ands, buts, and bees about it, you know. It's just like they're going to play five more games and six with the thing is 3-14 in. When they're going to play 11, they're going to play, they got 17 games to play, and you don't count the Braves out neither.
Okay, Daryl, thank you. I'm going to let you go.
We're getting Paul Feinbaum's callers now.
Did the state of Massachusetts sell Chelmsford to Georgia? Like, what happened there? Seriously, when did Chelmsford move to Georgia?
So, anyway, no.
What was that guy's name again?
Daryl.
The division's over, Daryl. Sorry.
It's over. And if you want to tell me that the Red Sox have a tough schedule, yes, you play all those good teams. You do. You play the Braves. They're a good team. And you play the Yankees, and they're a good team. And you play Houston. They're a good team. I got it. You also have the White Sox, the Blue Jays, the Rays, the Marlins, and the Mets on your schedule. Don't forget that. Don't forget those games. You could roll out of bed sleepwalking, and you're going to win your share of those games. You're not losing the division. Stop with
this.
I'd like
to meet my brother, Daryl. Here's my other brother, Daryl.
Kevin on Cape Cod. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, Maz? Mike, thanks for having me.
Okay.
Last night, overrated. What do you think?
Last night, overrated. What do you think? No. I don't think the Red Sox are overrated. I think they, and boy, wow. You take Red Sox calls, and it is literally, they are just putting in their teeth. They've just woken up from their nap, and they're putting in their teeth. This is so true. Like that the cliche about the demo is just, my God. They just woke up from their afternoon nap, and they took their meds and put their teeth in, and then they call us.
I told you, my problem with Red Sox fans in the last 15 years is that they've lost their teeth, so to speak.
My problem is that the average age is death. But anyway, I don't think you're overrated. I think you ran up against what you're going to face in the postseason, which is another good team that is constructed properly, that has a clue.
It is well run.
Okay, yep. Right, exactly, that has a clue. And so that's what that is. You are good, you're really good. But you may not be the only one. This isn't the AFC East, okay? Eventually, you're going to face a team that is well put together and has a clue. And maybe it's Cleveland. Maybe it ends up being Houston or New York, although, you know, I have my doubts that the bullpen arms and Francona and Millsy, that little crux right there in close games in the playoffs would scare the crap out of me. Now, maybe you can jump on their starters. Maybe your offense just gets rolling in the postseason. Like, it's not now. It's in a little bit of a dip, your offense. And those bullpen arms and Francona is nullified. That's entirely possible. I wouldn't rule that out. But if you get in close games with that Cleveland team, I'd be really concerned.
You should be. And again, after watching that kid Bieber last night, I'm worried about their pitching staff overall, not just the bullpen.
The Biebs. He's got a 4-something ERA. So, you know, I guess he's 8-2 or something, 7-2. But he's got a 4-something ERA. So you tell me what he is.
No, I think the kid's pretty good. I mean, watching him, the stuff's pretty good. You know, he keeps the ball down. He throws the breaking ball down and in on lefties. Jimmy's right. In the minor leagues, his ERA was under 2. So he's relatively new to the big leagues. I think he's legit. I don't know if he's an ace, but he's a good pitcher.
Here's Bob in Marlboro. Hi, Bob. What do you got? You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Mike and Maz. This is Bob. Hey, the last night's game, the three pitchers that gave up a run and the thing, you got Kelly, never put Kelly in with the one run lead. It was 3-2.
Well, who are you going to put in, Bob?
What's wrong with Brazier?
Okay, well, Brazier's the new guy, so is this another game? Did he get in last night?
I don't think he did. No, I don't remember him getting in that game.
So this is two straight. They're pumping this guy up. Dave Dombrowski and the beat guys are talking like, see, this is why we didn't trade for anyone. Now you get into a real series against a potential playoff opponent. You have two close games late, and I don't see the guy.
No, he hasn't pitched in either one. But Thornburg got in there and gave up a home run to Yan Gomes, in case you missed that.
No, I saw that one.
Dirt, too.
I saw that one. That wasn't even a bad pitch. But either way, what happened to all this hype about Brazzers?
Good question.
He's a little too hardcore.
Yeah, good question. Like, look to me.
There it is, Maz.
I got it.
Very good, Murray. That one sneaked by me almost. Sneaky fastball.
But seriously, so where is this guy?
You got me. I think the matchup with Cleveland for them is a tough one. Because Cleveland can just throw one arm after the next at you.
Sox, Indians bullpen last night, 2 2/3, 0 hits, 0 walks. No runs, obviously. Red Sox pen, 3 2/3, 3 hits, 2 runs, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. And they really, Kelly allowed an inherited runner. It's not on him, but it was really a third run that the bullpen gave up too. So it's like mismatch. It's a mismatch.
Oh, it's a total mismatch. And again, like to me, this comes down to, remember too, that Brad Hand and Simber, those two guys were not in the Cleveland bullpen as of a month ago. They got added. So this is another case where I think you look at it and say, well, especially on a night where Eovaldi is blowing up, you look at it and say, okay, Eovaldi now has sucked for 3 straight starts. They bring in Hand. Sometimes they close with him. Sometimes they set up with him. Sometimes they go him back-to-back with Miller. They're going to have him for 3 more years after this one, for crying out loud. And you look at it and you said, which deal is really more worth it? Now, look, I'm not going to make the final judgment now because I wasn't going to make it 2 weeks ago. But when you look at it, you say, really, what did you need more?
I mean, please, it's obvious. What are people asking you to do on Twitter there, Murray?
They want me to put the asterisk back on the Red Sox. I'll do no such thing. I was actually stunned. It was more than a handful of people last night. Bring back the asterisk, Murray. Where's the asterisk? Bring back the whiteboard. Put that asterisk back on there. No. As the one who controls the asterisk, it's not going back on. The division's over. They're a real team. Once it's removed, it's removed. For the regular season. We'll see what happens come playoff time. But for now, no, it's not going back on.
Did they ask you to do anything else on Twitter, Murray? Like the
typical go F yourself.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The anatomically impossible, as it is so said.
Meanwhile, Chris Sale on the DL, but we've talked a lot about that trade. Is the final analysis in on that trade, or the final grades in on that trade? We'll answer that question after this in our long commercial-free segment.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Michael Kopech. We'll see what Forsyth, Cave, and Grossman have coming. Fastball, strike three. His first execution looking is Logan Forsyth. One down.
Well, there was another 34 that came out of Texas that threw maybe a little harder than he's throwing today, but we're going to see Michael Kopech throwing harder than he's throwing right now.
His father, Michael, was a huge Nolan Ryan fan. 3-2 again. Swing and a miss, strike three. Kopech washes away, Cave, two gone.
A little high heat.
Ball and two strikes to Maurer. Kopech struck him out. Top of the zone. Maurer couldn't pull the trigger. Kopech shoots him down.
Huh, so why do we play that? Well, we play it basically because Maz is a diabolical prick. Is why we play it. Michael Kopech went to the White Sox along with Yoan Moncada for Chris Sale. And Michael Kopech made his major league debut last night and looked pretty good.
Oh, my gosh. Like two innings, and then it started raining, and they pulled him, and they didn't send him back out there. So in two innings, four strikeouts, no walks, no runs, three hits. Now, look, it wasn't perfect, but he throws bullets. He throws bullets. He's got a good breaking ball, and he's even got a pretty good changeup. And he's more complete than I thought he was, and he's big. He looks bigger to me than he was when he was with the Red Sox.
He says 6'3".
And he's like two bills. Like, he's a good-sized kid. And I know I talked about this earlier.
Well,
in the week.
But 6'3 doesn't seem that big to me.
No, no, he's not like 6'6", but he's thick. He's got a big ass.
Oh, here we go again.
So I'm just telling you that it looks to me, you know, he's built to last. That's what it looks like to me. Now, I don't know, maybe his arm will blow out, maybe he'll suck, all of that. I thought Kopech was going to be nothing more than a reliever when he was in the minor leagues. Then he got on the mound last night. And I saw him up there, and I went, oof, like, what if it does pan out? What if he is a stud? Like a 22-year-old right-handed, okay, classic, so, big right-hander.
All right, and just so we get it straight, Yoan Moncada's done nothing. He's done nothing. He's hitting .219 this year. He does have 16 homers and 47 RBI, but he's hitting .219, OPS of .697 last year. In 54 games, he had an OPS of .750. So,
and he strikes out a ton.
177 strikeouts so far this year. .177. I think that leads baseball. It's bolded here on Baseball Reference.
Yes, and it leads, yes. So he strikes out a ton.
Leads the league. He's got more than Stanton, which is, you know, Giancarlo Stanton, which is hard to do given the way Stanton started off this year. But there you go. Moncada's doing nothing but Kopech. What if either of these guys turn into a stud? But if Kopech turns into a stud, are you allowed to reassess the Chris Sale trade?
Sure, of course. Yeah.
Of course.
Now, look, I told you. Now, you're talking about the evaluation of the trade. When you asked the question yesterday, I thought you meant, would you not have made the deal?
No.
And I'm no, I'm making that deal 10 times out of 10.
And there's another trade here and another sport that we're going to be talking about here coming up next hour that I'll say the same thing about. Just because you understand why they would make the trade and you'd make the trade again doesn't mean at the end of the day that you won the trade or that it, therefore, is a good trade. It makes sense at the time. You would do it again using the same principles. But if Chris Sale doesn't lead you to a championship, or Chris Sale gets hurt, or Chris Sale bolts after 2 years because you don't re-sign him, and Kopech turns out goes on to be an ace, did you win the trade?
No.
No, you did not win the trade.
No, for the Red Sox to win the trade, and I feel strongly about this, and it's not gonna, I mean, they got to win a championship with Sale. They got to win one. The whole idea of making that deal was to win a championship. They got to win a title.
So bottom line, story over. What if they go to the World Series, Sale wins both of his starts, but they lose in seven because everybody else chokes?
Okay, so, I mean, you know, you can give me exceptions that I would say, fine.
He has to pitch at a championship level, and you have to go on a championship run, whether you actually, you know, complete it or not. But that's when you trade away future stars like this, the guy has to lead you to the World Series and get you there, and then, you know,
and do his part.
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's all I meant. Do his part. Do his part to take you to the World Series and help you win a championship. If Sale doesn't do that and Kopech goes on to be a stud,
then the White Sox get the better of the deal.
You lost the trade.
Yeah, the White Sox will have gotten the better of the deal. And I believe, you know, if you remember with Moncada, by the end of his first season here, I said, trade this guy. Like, I'm okay with them getting rid of Moncada. Kopech, to me, is a greater variable.
Is Moncada Cuban?
Yeah.
Those Cuban guys scare me, man.
And he looked like he couldn't play defensively. I mean, they put him at third base, if you remember. He was a train wreck. And I thought, holy crap, it's that bad? Like, it just felt like there was too much, you know, too much room to grow for him to cover, too much ground for him to cover. But the Kopech thing last night, I mean, it was eye-opening. The stuff is good. He's got really good stuff. It's off the charts.
And the little shots that I saw, like, the crowd is all amped. Are they, like, treating this guy like
the savior?
They are.
Well, it feels that way.
Because the crowd, you know what, they're a horrible team. Nothing game in August at Comiskey. And they're like, they're on their feet for this kid.
So I was trying to find out the attendance of that game this morning. For whatever reason, I must have been on ESPN. They don't have the attendance in the box score anymore.
I noticed that.
MLB.com does it.
Do they have time of game in the ESPN?
No, they don't.
I've noticed that.
Isn't that irritating?
So annoying.
It is. It's irritating as all hell.
Are you trying to cover up? Are you trying to cover up for the fact that the games take too long and no one's there? God, that's annoying.
It is. It's so irritating.
Oh, thank you for saying this. Oh, it makes me so angry.
I bet someone at the league reached out and told them to stop doing it.
Well, no, but they put it on the MLB site.
They do. They put it on the MLB site. But in fact, I'll get it for you.
But I go to the MLB site. It's too busy. It comes up my computer. I don't know how to figure it out. I get all frustrated. I just shut it down. Like, fine, I'm not going to find out the time of game or the attendance. F you and your stupid website.
So they had 23,000 at Comiskey last night. I'm willing to bet that's one of the biggest crowds of the season. I'd be willing to bet it.
Oh, boy, they were ready for that kid.
Oh, they were. And you know what? Like, if we go back and play it, Jimmy had to edit some of it out. This guy doing the play-by-play.
What a toolbox.
Holy crap. Wow. He was calling him Michael like he's Jordan, for crying out loud, on the mound. And then on top of it, like, again, you know, his
first execution of the night?
Yeah.
Oh, stop it.
Yeah. Joe Mauer got washed away. Yeah. Jimmy, play it again. Play it. Listen to this guy. Seriously. And then they had the audacity to compare him to Nolan Ryan because he wore number 34. Like, there's a good comparison for you. Let's compare him in his first major league game to a guy who threw 7 no-hitters. Let's do that.
Michael Kopech. We'll see what Forsyth, Cave, and Grossman have coming. Fastball, strike 3. His first execution looking.
Oh, shut up.
Is Logan Forsythe. One down.
Well, there was another 34 that came out of Texas.
Yeah.
That threw maybe a little harder than he's throwing today. But God, we're going to see Michael Kopech throwing harder than he's throwing right now.
His father, Michael, was a huge Nolan Ryan fan. 3-2 again. Swing and a miss. Strike 3.
Strike 3.
Kopech washes away. Cave, 2 gone.
A little high heat.
Ball and 2 strikes to Mauer. Kopech struck him out. Top of the zone. Mauer couldn't pull the trigger. Kopech shoots him down.
Just, he struck him out, buddy. Yeah. He struck him out.
He shoots him down.
Oh, but that ESPN thing with the time of game and the attendance.
Kopech shoots him down.
I'm so glad you said that. That bugs the crap out of me.
Oh, it drives me bananas. Okay. I can't tell you how much it drives me bananas.
Anyway, as much as you would do the Chris Sale trade again, the scoreboard is not done. The scoreboard is not done on that trade. And, well, that's all. That's all I'd say. And we're going to talk about another trade. There's a big trade anniversary today that I would say the exact same thing about, that you all have taken your pants off to and pleasured yourself to for the better part of a year. And I'm here to tell you, it ain't over. The analysis is not in. And on year one, I don't even know if you won it in year one. This is another trade we're going to be talking about here in a second. But those are our Michael Kopech thoughts. More of your Red Sox calls right after the top of the hour update. No commercials.